desire your prayers tonight. The burden that I have in my heart is we would see Jesus. And I believe that is the cry of the world today. Whether people know it or not, when they're looking for something and they are trying to find something to satisfy, we know that the answer is going to be found in Christ tonight. And like us, if you will, turn with me over to John. We'll begin reading in the 12th chapter. The book of John, chapter 12. Beginning with verse 20, it said there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And what, if you can take just a step back into time, these Greeks were people that had come to Jerusalem for the express purpose of worshiping God. They came and they partook of the rituals of the Jewish religion at that time. They came and they entered into the feast and the festival, as it were. They came in and partook of that, but they realized that something was still missing. And they said, "We want to see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus." And they were partaking of the religious things that the people had to offer there in Jerusalem. Do you know that I find that that is still happening today? We can go to church and we can involve ourselves in different doctrines and theologies, and we can follow different ministries, and we can have our heroes, so to speak, spiritually, and we can come to church and be socially involved in a lot of good activities. But with all of that, those things will never satisfy a spirit that is longing for something that's down deeper inside. And these men, after entering into church, in essence, the rituals, the feast, and all of those things, they said, we want to see Jesus. And I believe that that is the cry and what the world is desiring today. They also need to see Jesus. And I want to say for myself, spiritual things, or religious things rather, are not enough to satisfy my soul. Socially getting together and going to camp meeting for just the social aspect, folks, that's not going to satisfy my soul. Now, nothing's wrong with going to camp meeting to meet other people. That's good. And I want to go a step further, and I didn't plan on saying this, but growing up, Brother Austin used to teach us. He said some people say, well, just someone says they're going to camp meeting to get a companion, and that's not the place for that. But he said, and I'll say again here today, there's no better place to go to find a companion than with people that have an experience with Jesus Christ. It's not enough just because they're there at the meeting, but it's a good place to meet other people that do have an experience with God. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want us to understand that socializing with people and the religious structure that the world has to offer, and even our gatherings here in this chapel, these things are not enough to satisfy the needs that people have in their spirit. And these men said, "Sir, we would see Jesus. I need something more than what I've experienced." Folks, I have found that Jesus is the only one that can really satisfy the longings that I have in my spirit. I have found, although it is a blessing to have a wife that supports me, it's a blessing to have other saints that get behind in difficult times, there is no one that ministers to my heart like Jesus does. When I'm grieving, when I'm discouraged, when I'm struggling, when I'm sick, and when I'm struggling spiritually, there is no one like Jesus that can minister, but Him that can minister to the depth of my spirit. And these men said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We have a longing and a need to see Jesus today." I understand that Jesus, remember, Jesus made the statement. He said, "If I be lifted up," He said, what would happen? "I will draw all men unto myself." I want to give proper context to that scripture. It said Jesus spake this concerning the death that He was going to die. In other words, when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he was specifically referring to him being lifted up on the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto myself. We can only have access to God through the death of Jesus Christ. But I will say, taking it a little step further, it is when we lift Jesus up in our life that we're going to find access to God. We're never going to find access to God except it be through Jesus Christ. And so then, Jesus is not here in the flesh any longer, is he? We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the avenue through the blood that Jesus, through him and through his shedding his blood, we've been reconciled to God. And if we haven't been, we have opportunity to through Jesus. But when people are so skeptical of religion today, you know, I'm thankful that I was raised knowing the truth and knowing the things of God, but I still had to give my heart to God too. I still had to have a heart change, and I still had to have my mind transformed. A head knowledge of truth doesn't save us tonight. But we live in a world that's skeptical of religion. And you know there's a good reason for it? If you didn't know people that really had an experience with God, and if I hadn't, I'd probably be skeptical of it too. Because there are so many people professing to be Christians, and you better be careful when you do business with them, or they'll cheat you. If that's what Christianity is about, I don't need it. If someone tells me a lie and they say they're a Christian, I don't need it. If someone goes to service and they go to church and they're a Sunday school teacher and they're actively involved in their church and they don't treat their wife right, I don't need it. You understand? And we wonder why people are so skeptical about religion today. If I say we have a standard of modesty and this is where we go, we don't go to these places and we don't involve ourselves in the world, but don't cross me. You cross me, I'll fly off the handle and I'll get all mad and upset. I don't need that kind of Christianity. And people wonder why people don't believe in God today. It's because the world is full to a large extent of hypocrites. People that are professing to know God, that professing to know Jesus, but they're not walking like he walked. They're not living like he walked. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Folks, the world doesn't need more religion tonight. The world doesn't need more church. Yes, it's good to be in church. Don't misunderstand me. Those things are important in their place, but they will not minister to the hurting spirit by themselves. There is one that can minister, and that's Jesus. So then how can we take the message of Jesus to people? What message do we have to take to a world that is lost? A world that is skeptical? I have found that this is one of the reasons people, children, even among the saints that grow up, and they're skeptical of this thing that we're keep talking about tonight. They're skeptical. I don't think it works. They must have not seen it work at home. They must have not seen mom and dad living it out. I don't want my children to grow up and not believe because they didn't see it lived out. They have a choice to make for themselves. My children may choose not to serve God. I hope they do. That's one of the most important things. I want to see my children serve God, especially as they get older. I want to see them dedicated and consecrated serving God. But if they choose not to believe, I want them still to have respect for the way mom and dad live. But there have been too many people, the children have grown up skeptical of what we teach and believe. And they say, all it is tradition and it doesn't mean anything. Folks, when you follow Jesus tonight, it's going to make a change in how you live in the home. It's going to change how you talk to your children. It's going to change the priorities of your life. So what is the cry of the world today? It's, oh, we need to see Jesus. I don't need to say, well, just come to church. Let me see Jesus in your life. Let me work with you. Let me observe your home. Let me observe how you act at school, children and young people. Let me see how you live and let me see a difference. And if you can lift Jesus up by following his steps through your life, people are going to begin to get a glimpse that there is a Savior. There is something that's real in your life that supersedes all of the religion that the world has to offer. Oh, I want to encourage us tonight to lift Jesus up in our life. Let's lift Him up and walk as He walked. Follow His steps. There is a story, and I know that we all tonight are in different situations in life. Some of you are children, some young people, some middle-aged, some elderly. We're in different circumstances. We have different calls in our life, don't we? There are mothers here tonight. There are those that go out and work in the workforce. And you say, how can I answer this cry of the world that says we would see Jesus? I'm just kind of stuck in my circumstances. It just seems like I'm stuck, and if I were free from these things, maybe I could do more. I want to encourage all of you tonight, wherever you're at in your life, through your conduct, you can let someone see Jesus. And whether it be your children, whether it be your coworker, whether it be the one standing in the line at Walmart that people are getting frustrated with, and it's your turn to have a pleasant word, to show that there is such a thing as love and patience. There is a difference. Someone to reach out to those that are hurting. The world saying we would see Jesus. They don't always know that's what they're saying. But folks, they don't need religion. What do we have to offer to the world tonight? What hope do we have to offer to people that are hurting? There's a story, there's a man by the name of W.B. Henson, and he used to tell a story, and I want to relate it to you tonight. He told a story about a cobbler, and do you children know what a cobbler is? Do you know what a cobbler is? A cobbler is someone who makes shoes. It's a shoemaker. And today it's kind of an old term. We don't talk about, well, the cobbler down the road. But that's what a cobbler is, someone that makes shoes. And so there was a shoemaker, and there was a new minister in town, and he went by to see the cobbler. He went by to see the shoemaker, and he began to talk to him, and the minister used some lofty theological language, and the cobbler sat there and listened. The cobbler replied to that kind of talk with some deep spiritual insights. And so the minister looked at the cobbler and he said, you shouldn't be cobbling shoes. He said, a man that can think like that and express himself like you do, he said, you shouldn't be doing secular work. No, secular work, just it's not spiritual. He's not ministering behind a pulpit, or he's not of the clergy, see. He said, you shouldn't be wasting your talents on secular work. And the cobbler quickly said, sir, he said, take that back. And the minister looked at him and said, take what back? And he said that I'm doing secular work. He said, do you see this pair of shoes? He had a pair of shoes. He said, do you see this pair of shoes? He said, this belongs to the widow's son. And he said, her husband died and her boy supports her and he keeps a roof over their head. And said, bad weather is coming. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, will you cobble Widow Smith's boy's shoes so he won't catch a cold and can still work? Will you make the widow's boy some shoes so he can still get some jobs through the winter? Otherwise, he'll be sick. And the cobbler, the shoemaker, told the Lord, he said, I will. And he went on to tell the minister, he said, you preach sermons under God's direction, I trust. And he said, I'm going to cobble or make these boys' shoes under God's direction. And he said, one day when the rewards are given out, he's going to say to you and to me the same sentence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Folks, we are not all called to a pulpit ministry. We are not all called to go to a foreign land and say, well, that's something going to the heathen. But God has called all of us to a very important place. You have a sphere of influence tonight, each and every one of you, whether it is Brother Justin, whether it's delivering mail, Brother Randy, whether it's driving a truck, Sister Lene, whether it's staying home with the children, whatever it is, whether it's going to school and interacting with some that are right here in the congregation, the Lord has a place for you to fill to lift Him up. And people that we have influence with, They are desperately in need to see Jesus. And it's our call. It is our commission tonight to lift the Lord up. I may not have the words to speak, but I'll point us back to Sunday school this morning. I may not have the words to speak, but if I can demonstrate some love, if I can show some concern for someone that has need, if I can extend to someone in some little way, I will tell you that there, and I know Renee feels this way, and it's been one of her ministries to our neighbors in the past and today, that maybe she might not always have words to speak, but she'll go bake some bread, or she'll go make something and take it and show some concern and interest and love in them, and that's been a blessing. We all have a place to fill. And we should never say, oh, I can't do that. Let's be great in the Lord right where we're at. In other words, Lord, wherever I'm at, it doesn't matter whether I'm a doorkeeper, it doesn't matter whether I'm making shoes, or whether I'm in a foreign land, Lord, my time is yours, my money is yours, everything that I have, Lord, is yours. And I want to give it to you. For what purpose? So people look on and say, oh, you're doing quite a work. And sometimes, and I know some of you sisters, I understand that there is a struggle sometimes, and it feels like that all I'm doing, you know, the laundry keeps piling up, and the children sometimes are misbehaving, and it seems like there's this rut that you get in, and it feels like I can't do anything for the Lord. I want you to know tonight you are doing a great work for God if you can show your children Jesus. If you can lift him up, that they can see there is something real in mom's life. And that they can see there is something that makes a difference in them. You remember over in Acts, the fourth chapter, I'll give you the reference. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it said there were the men around, it said they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And it said they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I don't know if you take exception to be calling unlearned and ignorant. But they perceived that Peter and John were unlearned. They weren't educated. But it said they marveled. They looked at these fishermen and they marveled. And it said they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How did these men know that? Do you know that when you spend time with someone, when you spend a lot of time with someone, you're going to start thinking like they think? Your priorities are going to start being the same? And whether you like it or not, it seemed like with married couples, they even start to look alike. Do you realize that when you spend so much time together, you start being like each other? You can know what your companion's thinking, and they don't have to say a word. And people I look on and say, I'm not sure where they're coming from. Their husband or wife knows where they're coming from, and they never even said anything. How did they know that? Because they'd spent so much time with them. Folks, it's not always by the words that we speak, but it is by the conduct of our lives. I would that as the world is crying, not for more religion, but they're crying and saying, we need to see Jesus. I need some hope. I need something that I can get hold of to give me an assurance that there's a possibility of salvation. How are they going to get that kind of message unless we spend time with the Lord that people can look on and say, I see Jesus. Oh, do you know, I'm the youngest in my family. I had an older brother and sister. And in school, for better or for worse, I was known before people even knew me. It's another one of the Smith children. And I had to a certain extent, sometimes it can be good and sometimes it can be bad. But do you know, you're known by your family? Oh, that's one of the sorrows. I've hit over half of you tonight. That's one of the sorrows. That tells people something, whether you like it or not. Because when you're related, there's going to be some common characteristics. There's sometimes I've seen people say, I think I've met them. I've seen them somewhere. I never have, but I've met their family members.
And it started ringing a bell in my mind. Folks, that's what God is calling for us as His children tonight. That people, as they get to know us, that they can begin to get to know Jesus. Because of the way we live, by the way we conduct ourselves. And that doesn't mean we've got to just be all on, yes, we're so spiritual. But that we enjoy life. That we enjoy the life that God gave us. I'm giving you an example, that we're all able to go out and play kickball together. So you need to be more spiritual. You ought to be praying. No, people ought to be able to look on and say, this is a people who love God and they can still enjoy life. You understand what I'm saying? A people that they can begin to get to know and they can say there's something different about these people. I want people to look on and begin to see some features in me that it looks familiar. Who is that? I think that appears to be like the Son of God. Do you know that's what God's calling for tonight? Sir, we would see Jesus.
Oh, Scripture teaches us, there's more. Scripture teaches us that we are a chosen generation tonight. We're a chosen generation. And we have been called to abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. Why? You read on in 1 Peter chapter 2, you read on, it says, having your conversation honest. In other words, not deceitful. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil of you. In other words, they don't like, the Scripture says the world will hate us. But in the day of visitation, that they may glorify God in the day, or because of your good works, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, if you live like Jesus, and you conduct yourself like Him, people may not accept it, but when the Holy Spirit goes and starts talking in their hearts, the Lord's going to bring you to their mind, and they're going to say, oh, that's what God's calling. Yeah, I know then. He sold some cattle to me one time. She made some soap for me one time. She was in my line at Walmart. She was in the store. She brought some bread to me one time. Or maybe it's our children. Lord comes and talks to their heart. And they think back to how mom and dad lived. And the Lord, through your life, the Lord can begin to draw them to Himself. It's not for us to be lifted up tonight. We're not about trying to build an organization of man, but we have been called tonight, Romans 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. You know, a saint means someone who is something that is consecrated and dedicated to the exclusive use. Someone that is consecrated and dedicated, devoted, consecrated to God for exclusive use of divine worship. Folks, I want to challenge us tonight. Let's take our lives beyond the secular. Let's take our parenthood. Let's take those that we're caring for. Let's take our jobs. Let's take when we go to town and not just see those things as just secular, earthly things that we have to do, but let us allow those things to rise up. That I'm not just making shoes now, but I'm making shoes for the Lord. I'm not just doing this just for myself now. This is where God put me, and I want to be faithful at my post of duty and elevate it to the spiritual as a cobbler. I'd like to conclude tonight in the second chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, he said here that ye may, let's just, verse 13, let's start there. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you know, if we love God with all of our heart, that's going to be our desire tonight. Lord, I want You to work in me, Your will. I want Your pleasure to be accomplished, Lord. He said, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Do all things. Lord, this is what you called me to. This is where you put me in life. And sometimes I wish I could do more. And sometimes I wish I could do something different. And sometimes, Lord, it seems like I'm not doing as much for you. And sometimes I don't like what I'm doing. And he said, do all things without murmuring. He said, why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Folks, is your light shining tonight? Oh, I would see Jesus. That's the cry of the world. So who's going to show Jesus? Because he's not here in the flesh anymore. The Lord is depending on you to go from this place tonight and let people see Jesus. Lord, help us not to put our candle under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it may be a light to all that are in the house. Folks, that's what our calling is. There's so much confusion in the world, but I would that the world could see Jesus in us. Sir, we would see Jesus. Amen.